Our only hope is God under prayer. That's the theme of that song. And I thank the Lord that God laid it on Brother Brad's heart to arrange the service like he did. Wonderful singing. Thank you, Charles. And thank you so much, choir. And Brad, thank you. And what a blessing. Amen. I want to read two passages of scriptures to you. And we'll be through right at 12. And so I'll get you out of here. And because I want the vacation workers to meet with Miss Shirley back there in the back. And you just follow with me as I read. You have Psalms number 28. Will you go back in the Old Testament, back toward the book of Genesis, find the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. I'm going to read, first of all, Psalms number 28. I want to read the whole psalm, then I'm going to go back there. Now, David is the king of Israel, and he's called the sweet singer of Israel. And when God chose him to replace Saul, who was king of Israel, and Samuel came to anoint the new king, they went through all his brothers. And he said, is this all you've got? None of these are the one that God's chosen. And he said, I got one little old boy. He's out there in the pasture. His name is David. He said, go bring him here. Well, when he came in, the Holy Ghost of God spoke to Samuel, and they anointed David king over Israel. And he's the anointed king. You remember back when Saul was king, David was a mighty man of war. He had a group of mighty men after he became king. They were great warriors. I mean, they got the job done. They sang a song about David. They said, Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his tens of thousands. David knew the power of the sword. David knew what military might was all about. But David knew there's more to it than just that. I want to say, you know, over all these years how much I appreciate all of our military, and I pray for them. We love them. And we must maintain our strength as a nation militarily and politically as well. I want to read to you David's heart in Psalms number 28 in regard to his people, himself, and his nation. Verse number 1 of chapter 28 of Psalms. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands and render to them their desert. Why? Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and shall build and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart gladly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength. He is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, bless thine inheritance, feed them also, and lift them up forever. That's David, as the Holy Ghost of God led him to record that psalm, which is a song, but it's his testimony of his life as a warrior, as a soldier, as a king. And he said, it's all because God hath heard my prayer. Let me read to you in 2 Samuel, if you will, 2 Samuel. And I want to read this passage. David has been in a great battle with the Philistines, and they have been defeated. And David said in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hands of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. David is a mighty man of war, and he is now a great general, a great soldier. This is prior, of course, to him becoming king. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The rest of this chapter continues that song, but that's what I wanted to share with you quickly this morning. David, as a soldier, prayed that prayer and then echoed that same prayer as king. He knew that God was his defender. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God to help us. And God, I want to thank you for the wonderful service thus far. Lord, we want to thank you for the land of liberty. We thank you that, God, you've allowed us to be born in this nation of freedom. And God, that we have opportunity to, Lord, pursue whatever direction we feel like God would have us to go. Lord, whatever field of endeavor, whatever way of occupation. Lord, we're glad that we have freedom of religion, that we can worship you freely without government interference. We're glad, our Father, we had liberty to preach the gospel and share Christ. God, we're glad and thank you that you raised up this great nation, our Father, through the efforts of those who came to this land, who believe that you have divine providence and you are sovereign in their acts, and that they looked to you and prayed to you and sought your guidance. Lord, in time of conflict, in time of difficulty, in time of sickness, they sought you. They trusted you. And our Father, the motto that appears on our coin and the song that the trio's just sung, Lord, under God, we are one nation under God, and we trust you with all of our heart. And our Father, we acknowledge the fact that where we are is because of what you've done and what you continue to do. Thank you that you, God, you chose men to preach the gospel like Brother Don Harrell and others. Thank you, our Father, for those that you, God, you put in their heart to serve in the military, and you raised up great leaders. And God, had it not been for you, our Father, our nation would have never remained free. But thank you, our Father, that you've done that. And God, I pray, our Father, once again for those who don't know the freedom that is in Christ Jesus, that when the Son sets them free, they'll be free indeed. Not only politically, not only culturally, but God, they'll be free from the bondage of sin and the damnation of hell for all eternity. They'll be able, our Father, to live and walk in the Spirit in liberty, as the Word of God says. And Father, I pray, God, that we'd not use our liberty, both as a nation and both as Christians, as an occasion to sin. God, I pray that we will continue to remain, our Father, faithful to you. I pray, God, for the moral atmosphere of this nation. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God would deal with those in place of leadership and responsibility in national level and the local and state level. And I pray, God, that, Lord, the Holy Ghost would move, and God, that there would be moral decisions made, Lord, that are right and biblical. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us as soldiers of the cross to understand what an important part we all play in the maintenance of this freedom. Father, I bow before you this morning and confess there's no good thing in me, and I ask, God, the Holy Ghost to take over. O wind of heaven, blow in this place. God, speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you and pray and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. One of our great founding fathers made this statement, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Blood's been shed. Many armies have marched on our soil and on foreign soils to secure our freedom. And God has allowed us to be victorious, and we've maintained that freedom. But that freedom is only available to us as long as we are eternally vigilant. We have to be careful from the enemies without and the enemies within. And you and I have to be a part of that plan. Thank God that God has given us, even today, young men, like some of the young men in our church, who have been called by God, I believe, to serve in the military, and young ladies who are involved in the military, because God put it in their heart. God's still raising up people to do that type of thing. But David, who was a great general, David, who was a great warrior, David, who was a great king, recognized this need. Not only must there be eternal vigilance, but there must be effectual, fervent prayer. In the book of James, James said in chapter number 5 and verse number 6, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. David understood the importance of prayer. Just quickly this morning, in the psalm that I read to you, which is a song, you also understand that it is a prayer. And notice, if you will, in this prayer that he shared in the heart of me and you, you and I have a tremendous part. We don't fight on the battlefield right now. We may have to down the road. But right now, it is imperative that just as there must be eternal vigilance, there has to be effectual prayer. There's got to be somebody praying for this nation. There's got to be somebody that's got a burden for our leadership, and somebody who prays and asks God to have mercy and to bring real revival and real repentance in our nation. Here, David prays that prayer like that. I want you to notice the posture of David in this prayer. Two or three words give us a key to that. Notice he said in verse number one, "Unto thee will I cry, unto thee will I cry." Now that's not a "now I lay me down to sleep" prayer. That is a prayer of urgency. That is a prayer of great need, of great burden, of great care. It's much like the word "beseech," where he said, "I beseech you." Basically, this cry is a cry of one who is helpless and who knows somebody who can help. It is a prayer from somebody who believes that God must do everything. I'm totally dependent on His hearing and answering my prayer. David said, if you don't hear my prayer, he said, I'll be just like the wicked. I'll go down into defeat. I'll go down into the grave. And the key to our success as a nation, the key to your freedom in your personal life, the key to the freedom in this nation is the fervent, effectual prayer of God's people. And you pray, cry to God, believe God is able, and understand that you have an integral part in the success of our government and in the security of peace for our nation and the success of our nation. And it comes through prayer. Notice he not only has that sense of urgency in his posture, but he has a compassionate, broken heart. He said, "Hear my supplication." He is pleading God. He is seeking God on the behalf of not only himself, but of all of his nation. I'll mention that further as he finishes this prayer. He's got a concern. You and I ought to pray. Charles had shared with me the story about Clay and his burden for Katie the other night. Most of you know our granddaughter Katie has been serving overseas in the USO. And he had a burden for her about her safety. And you and I ought to have that same burden. I listened to Charles tell that the other day about here he is. He's just 11 years old. He had a birthday, didn't he? He's 11 years old. That his burden was such that he wasn't interested in playing video games. He wasn't interested in doing whatever. It was time right then to stop and to weep and to pray. And I just wonder, how many times as I left Charles and he was telling me about that, I said, "Oh God, Lord, how long has it been since I got such a brokenness to care for people?" David is praying here. This supplication is not a selfish prayer. He's praying for his nation. He's praying for his people. He's the king and he's praying. And he knows that unless God intervenes, that they'll not remain free. Notice, not only the posture is indicated in the urgency of his prayer and the heart of his prayer, but notice what it says further about his hands. He said this in that regard. He said, as he's praying, he said, he lifts up his hands and he seeks God and he asks God to minister to him. And don't be silent, he said. I don't want to black those that go down to the pit. And he said, verse 2, "Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle." Here's the posture of his prayer indicated in this act. What does it mean? Well, I wrote down two or three things that it spoke to my heart about, and I believe it is consistent with biblical principle. Number one, the lift up his hands is an act of surrender. In the troops, in the war, if they've given up, they raise the white flag and they walk out with their hands lifted. They surrender. And my dear friend David comes before God. He's king of Israel. He's king over all of Israel. And he lifts his hand toward heaven and he said, God, I surrender to you. I totally surrender to you. Whatever your will is, I want that for my life. Whatever your will is, I want it for our people. But not only do I believe the indication of his uplifted hands means surrender, I believe it means confession. He holds out empty palms toward heaven and he confesses, God, I don't have the answers. God, I don't have what we need. God, I can't do what has to be done. I'm confessing to you, God, I'm totally dependent upon you. And he's confessing and being honest with God. He comes with his open hand, not holding on to anything, but yielding to God. But then I also believe this. I believe his uplifted hands not only indicate his surrender and not only indicate his confession, but I believe it indicates his expectancy. He's believing God. He's believing God will hear his prayer. He's believing God will preserve his nation. He's believing God will bless his people. Oh, my dear friend, notice he's praying and he says this to the person to whom he prays. He said, the Lord, my rock, is the one thing that's constant. Our culture has changed drastically in our nation, across this nation. It is changing day by day in our state. It's changing day by day in our county. We're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in this little Bible Belt place anymore. The people who are surrounding us now by a majority don't think like you think. They don't believe like you believe. And we're in a situation that God needs to intervene. And you and I need to pray. We are commissioned to carry the gospel to every person and preach the gospel. But I can tell you one thing that has not changed in all these years. The Lord is my rock. He hadn't changed. Praise God, there's still stability in him. He's still there for us. You can depend on him. I love that old song they used to sing, I'm standing on the rock. Thank God I'm standing on the rock. Mays Jackson one time was preaching a meeting and there was this dear old lady who used to go to all his camp meetings and sing, or she'd shout, rejoice and praise God. I can't remember her name. They called her Ain't Something Another. But he was in that area preaching in a great revival service. And the pastor said, do you remember her? Oh, yes, he said, I knew her. Said she loved God. And he said, but she's been sick, hadn't been able to be in the services. Would you like to go with me to the nursing home to see? And he said, absolutely. And he went in and I'll just call her Aunt Judy or something. And he saw her, Brother Mays, and she knew Brother Mays, and she's so glad to see him. And he said, Aunt Judy, they tell me that you're slipping a little bit. And she said, Brother Mays, I can't slip. I'm mired up in the rock of ages and he don't move. Thank God. I'm glad God is our rock. You can trust him. He'll be there when you need him. He's a constant friend. He has all power. Notice what he said. Not only is God my rock, but he is my strength and my shield. In every good football team, there has to be a good offense and a good defense. To have military success, there has to be technical ways of battle. There has to be a good aggressive program to attack the enemy. But there also has to be fortification of defense. You've got to have a good offense and a good defense. If you've got a great army marshaled on the field with the power of cannon or rocket or whatever, that's a good thing. But you also got to have that good defense to protect them and oversee them and protect the troops behind the lines. You need all of that. What David said, I've got it. I've got it. He said, the Lord is my strength. He's my great offense. And he is my shield. He's my great defense. I'm telling you right now, we're standing on the rock of ages. Praise God, it's his strength and his shield. It's his offense and his defense. Praise God, we're on the winning side. There's an old black preacher one time that took a text where it says, the Lord is a man of war. And he said, here's my message. You can't whip him. Praise God. God is a man of war. And the message is, you can't whip him. You can't whip the Lord. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. And God can do with few what men can't do with millions. God the Holy Ghost is our help. And he's praying to a God who doesn't change. He's praying to a God that has all power. He's praying to a God who's promised to protect him and take care of him. Oh, listen, he said this about his petition. My prayer has been heard. Have you ever known in your heart that God heard your prayer? How many of you don't raise your hand? There was a time you knew you were lost and on your way to hell, and you asked God to save you. You turned from your sin and you turned to the Savior. And somebody didn't have to explain it to you. Somebody didn't have to assure you. When you ask him to save you, something happened in your life that you knew, that you knew, that you knew that you were saved. You knew something happened. You knew that God heard your prayer. You knew your sins were gone, as cast as far as east is from west. It was like a weight lifted off of you. You, where there was fear, there comes now peace. And where there was cloudiness, now comes a light. You know that you're saved and your sins are gone. You ever prayed like that? Have you ever had that prayer when you say, God, I know you heard me. I know that you heard me. And thank God for that. He was heard of the Lord. And God said, and the Lord answered David. Notice this last verse. I'm through. I actually went over a little bit further than I said. Notice what it says in verse number 9. Here's his prayer. He said, verse 8, he said, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. The anointed is the king. The strength is his people. That's his nation. And that's a prayer of a great king. And he said, Lord, there are four things I want you to do for your people. Number one, save them. Save them. And my dear friend, my prayer is that God would keep all of our military safe, that would keep all of our people safe, to keep them safe, but also to save them. It's my prayer that they know Christ Jesus as their Savior and Lord, that they be born again by the grace of God, because then they'll have eternal peace. Then they'll live in a land that's free from any violence. Then they'll be in a place called heaven where there's no sickness or sorrow or pain for all eternity. And whatever happens to their body really won't matter, because they're going to get a brand new body one of these days. He said, not only do I want you to save them, but bless your inheritance. Will you bless them, Lord? Will you bless America? God bless America. He's blessed our nation. And we must never, ever forget that. And we must always be thankful for the blessing. And then he said to feed them. You know what David said? David prayed, and he prayed this prayer here in Psalms 28. Lord, I pray that God, that you would take care of your people. You'd feed them. And you know what he said in another place? He said, I've been young and I've old. And he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging for bread. When David died, God had answered his prayer. God took care of him. Can I tell you right now that God will meet your need? Paul wrote and said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to meet your need, whatever it is. He'll meet that need. And we need to pray that God would feed his people, meet their need. And then he said this, and lift them up forever. Lift them up forever. That precious thought there of lifting them up means not only to resurrect from the ground, but to stabilize in their walk, keep them strong, keep them steady, help them not to turn to the right nor the left. God, lift them up. And thank God, you know what? One of these days is going to really lift us up when we leave out of here, praise God. It's going to lift us up. Oh, thank God for that day when he'll come to call us home. But my dear friend, can I say this to you? We have responsibility to our nation, not only to eternal vigilance, but to effectual prayer. I encourage you to pray. We're going to do something. I want us to bow our heads right now. And we're going to have Miss Brenda, if you will, come to the piano. Brad, if you want to come. I want to give an invitation, first of all, for you to come this morning if you're not saved. If you've never been saved, I invite you to come trust Christ. This key to the security of our nation is prayer. We must have a good, strong, conservative, I think, government. I think we have to have a strong, viable military. But we need God's people to pray. We need God, those people who can touch heaven. The fervent the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can secure this nation's freedom by your prayers. There will be times of physical defense, perhaps even on our own soul. And I thank God that God raises up those who will do that. And we need to pray for them. But your prayer life is so important. I want to encourage God's people, not only those who are lost, to come trust Christ, but He'll hear your prayers too. As you pray for your nation, pray for your president, pray for our government leaders, pray for our military, pray for your neighbors, and pray that God would save them. Pray that God would bless them. Pray that God would feed them. And pray that God would lift them up. What a prayer. What a prayer.